and how we need the Word of God even in our lives, that we pray and we ask Him for His help. Lord, I'm going through this in my life. I need Your Holy Spirit to guide me and lead me in my life. That's what the book of Acts is all about. The power of the Holy Spirit through prayer. Praying, praying, praying.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has lived in relationship with the Lord for nearly 5 decades. In that time, he's experienced the wisdom and power that come from walking in step with the Holy Spirit. For inspiration in your own spiritual journey, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's story. Well, thanks for joining us today for Raul's introductory look at the book of Acts. This segment of Scripture is unlike any other as it links Christ's life to our own with the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Stay with us for insight into how God can work through you in mighty, eternal ways when you allow His Spirit to teach, guide, and embolden you with His truth. Let's listen as Raul begins.
The book of Acts is perfect for each one of us individually. The power of God. Not emotionalism, not to become a fanatic, but to hear how Luke writes this book. It is not only a great book, but the book of Acts holds a unique place in the New Testament for each one of us individually. I wrote this down. It forms a logical link between the Gospels, the four Gospels, and the epistles of Paul the Apostle. The Gospels and the epistles. He tells us that Christ is the head of the church. And notice He supplies life to His body, giving us dynamic and direction to His people concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ and concerning eternity salvation given to each one of us concerning being a Christian. Ephesians chapter 1, 22, he says, "And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things, the church." Whose church is it? Jesus Christ's church. It's not my church. It's not your church. The church is not this building. The church are people that have been saved. We are the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17. He talks about the temple of God. "Know you not that you're the temple of the living God? And if any man defiles the temple of God, God Himself shall destroy him. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God." This is the temple. And as you're young and you're looking at yourself in the mirror, hey, you're young, you look good, things are going really the right way, but that tent's going to get old. And it's going to have a hole here, hole over here, and it's not repairable. And the reason for that is because God's preparing you for heaven. The inward man is what counts, not the outward man. The Holy Spirit living in my life, working through my life, becoming powerful because of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 4, 15, "But speaking in the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Jesus, who is the head of the church," not the Pope. Jesus is the head of the church. And what we begin to not only do and teach, the church continues what He guides and empowers the Holy Spirit. Who? Us. Empowers me, empowers you. And God's power is available to God's people. It's interesting that you talk about being a Christian and I ask people, "Have you been empowered by the Holy Spirit?" Well, what's that? Well, read the book of Acts. It'll tell you exactly what it is. You were a non-believer and somebody told you about Jesus. Cool. So now the Holy Spirit begins to convict you. So now He's with you. Pretty soon He'll come into your life. And then the upon experience, you want that for sure. We're going to see that. Because when He's with you, He begins to convict you in such a way that anything you do convicts you. That's what happened to me. I had no conviction. I did whatever I wanted to do. But when I began and they began to pray for me, my wife, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, her my grandma and grandpa, and they began to pray me for a long time. When I was in Vietnam, they said they were praying for me. I didn't even know that. Because when they began to pray for me, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to convict me. And because of that conviction, I got saved in April, notice 15, 1972. The Holy Spirit convicted me. That's why we are in the book of Acts, going through the Bible. But a lot of times people say, well, I'm not special. You don't have to be special. Nobody's special, only Jesus. I got saved. I start praying. I start going to the high schools like Ryan's doing. And you know what's so cool? Over the years, people here at Calvary Chapel, they come up to me and say, hey, I was in high school when you came and I accepted the Lord. And now they have kids. They're in their 50s now. But imagine what the Lord can do with you guys here, with everyone here, young or old, your families. Do you want them to go to hell? Or do you want the Holy Spirit to use your life, to baptize you, and to have the power to go in and say, you know what? Jesus loves you. Don't preach to them. Demonstrate the love of Christ in their lives. Because he's going to talk a lot about the love of Christ here. The power of God coming over my life and the Holy Spirit working in my life and through my life. In the book of Ephesians, Paul says this, and do not be drunk with wine in which is disposition, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit. He says that you're a fool if you drink wine, if you drink any kind of alcohol. As a Christian, you're not supposed to be drinking anymore. As a Christian, you're not supposed to be lying anymore. As a Christian, you're not supposed to be taking drugs anymore. As a Christian, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can give you the power to do what? The power to witness. And the best witness is not to tell people about Jesus. Let your life speak for Jesus. Let your life speak for Jesus. He is the Lord of history, working out his purposes in the world, working out in my life his purposes in your life. And you know, the church may lose some battles, but we win a lot of battles because why? Because of Jesus Christ. The warfare that we're in, the Satan, his demons. Put on the whole armor of God, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 18. Because when you put on the armor of God, what's interesting, when you read the book of Ephesians, go home and read chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. You'll notice that he speaks about the armor of God, you know, the helmet, the breastplate, you know, all the way down. But he never speaks of the back of the man. Never the back part. You know why? Because a Christian is never to turn his back on the devil. It's incredible how the scriptures speak. We put on the armor of God not to run away from the enemy, to go forward. He's given you the armor of God to become victorious. Through who? The Holy Spirit. And how we need the word of God even in our lives. That we pray and we ask him for his help. Lord, I'm going through this in my life. I need your Holy Spirit to guide me and lead me in my life. That's what the book of Acts is all about. The power of the Holy Spirit through prayer. Praying, praying, praying. This is the first church that was praying for the Holy Spirit. You see, his word is still a lamp and a light to our feet, as the scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 105. And that is to obey what he says. He says again in Psalm 119, 105. He says, God guides his people when they are willing to follow. Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to follow Jesus Christ so that he can use your life, so that he can baptize you with his power? See, if we are faithful to read God's word and study, meditate on it, and obey his word, God will guide us when we have decisions to be made in my life. What decisions do you have to make in your life tonight? Do you know that it's the Lord? You don't want to make a mistake and, you know, do something that God hasn't called you to do. And it's important that when I have the Holy Spirit and I have to make a decision, that the Holy Spirit will give me the peace that passes all understanding to know, Lord, I know that you're with me. I don't like to do something in my life when I don't have the peace of God. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go through those doors that are closed unless God opens those doors. I want to make sure that I'm waiting upon the Lord. As I'm reading the Old Testament, reading the New Testament, and God will give me scriptures, I'll stop, I'll meditate, I'll take them down, and then I'll pray throughout that day or a week, whatever, and then the Lord says, okay, green light, go for it. Go for it. And that's what he did when I got saved. When the Holy Spirit, I didn't even know how to preach. I didn't even know the Bible. That the Holy Spirit was promised in John 14:26, Jesus said, that the helper or the paracletus or the one that will come alongside to assist you. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, the name of Jesus. He will teach you all things, bring you to remembrance all things that I have said to you. How can he bring to my remembrance if I don't read about him? If I don't study him in his word? In John 16:13, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to each one of us. Each one of us individually. The Holy Spirit uses truth, not ignorance. So, the more facts that we get from the Scriptures and the Word of God, the better we will be in knowing Him with all of our hearts. All of our hearts. We should use not only our common sense as we stand here or sitting there. For as we use our common sense, then we walk by faith, not by feeling. Not by works. By faith. When you're trying to be a Christian by doing works, you're going to fail big time. But when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and not only do I share my faith with other people, but it does something in my life. I remember that in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 3, verse 11 through 15, he says that one day we'll stand at the bema seat of Christ, Romans 14:10, and then 2 Corinthians 5:10. And when we stand in the bema seat of Christ, he says we're going to not only be judged as believers for what our works are worth, gold, silver, wood, hay, or stubble. He's going to take our works into the fire. And then whatever comes out of the fire, that will be your reward that is lasting. But there are going to be people there when their works go into the fire, everything will burn up of no value. No value. Oh yeah, they'll be saved, but there's no value in anything in reigning with Christ. That's why it's so important to know him. In Proverbs 3:5, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Plural, paths. So if we're sincere and move not only along with the Lord, but if we move in the wrong direction, the Lord will show us, so we need not to fear. No, we need to fear the Lord Jesus Christ, the fear of the Lord. In Acts 16:6-10, here we have, now when they had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. There was danger. So the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. He says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit. Notice the Holy Spirit all the way through. Go, stop, go, stop. He says, did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. In a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man in Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Through the Holy Spirit of vision, there's this old guy saying, hey, Paul, come over here and preach us the word of God. And now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel. Barnabas and Paul the apostle. Imagine the things that God intends to do in my life and in your life. Philippians 3:15 says, therefore let us, as many as are mature, having this mind, and in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even these things to you. The importance of revelation. Because the book is addressed to Theophilus, lover of God. That's his name, lover of God. It was so cool when I looked at that name. Some say that it could be an individual. Some say that it might not be an individual. But the name speaks for itself, the lover of God. Are you a lover of God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. God's love. For you, for me, you either accept or you reject it, you go to heaven or you go to hell. You make the choice. The word of God warns you. The book of Acts is going to warn us how to be men and women full of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of Luke, we see this. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order the narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those from whom beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to them, to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. Lover of God. Lover of God. Amazing. Lover of God. I want to be a lover of God. I want to love Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because I know that when you become a lover of God, he's not only going to love you, he's going to care for you, but he's going to use your life when he opens those huge doors. And you're standing there, and as you're going through those doors, you'll be able to see one day when John the Beloved, in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 1, we see John going up to heaven, and there's a door. And the first thing that he sees when he gets to heaven is the throne of God. The throne of God. The Lord sitting in the throne. Imagine, when you die, when I die, we're going to see the throne of God. Are you going to see the throne of God? Be you holy as I am holy, the Lord said. No compromise in the kingdom of God. You really say you're a believer, then be a believer. Be the book of Acts. Know that the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles not only will be good in your life, but the sovereignty of God that is given to each one of us here this evening. Now, the author and the date of the letter written, of course, we know is Luke, given to Theophilus, right about Theophilus, the logical person that is there. And in the writing of the early church fathers, such as Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, Tertullian, Origen, Eusebius, Jerome affirm in Luke's authorship that this is Luke that wrote the scripture. And then you look at yourself as you read the scriptures. This is the word of God. In Colossians chapter 4, 14, he says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Here's Luke again. He was a physician. He became Paul's physician. Paul was sick. And Paul traveled with Luke. And Luke took care of Paul, which was so awesome that he and Luke became not only great friends, but brothers in the Lord. And Luke had the opportunity to be with Paul. Paul was in prison. And there Timothy, there Luke, there are others that came. And Paul wrote these little epistles that we'll read, you know, when we get there. Wrote these letters. He says, one of the letters, he says, you guys, when you come, bring my actual cape. He says, and bring the scrolls. Bring the scriptures. They didn't have books like we, they had scrolls. He says, bring it. And Paul the Apostle was a man of the word. Paul the Apostle was one that didn't care what was going to happen to him. Because when he got to Rome, when he was ready getting to be put to death, what did he do? He put his head down and they cut off his head. Paul said this, 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. Mark and Paul didn't get along. Later on, Paul calls for Mark, and Mark comes. He says, "In Mark, and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in ministry." How many people have you separated from because you can't get along with them? Paul said to Mark, "Man, I'm glad you're with me." And then what Jesus continues to do is to teach the Holy Spirit through what? Through the believers in his ascension. Jesus is getting ready to ascend. The angels are standing there, and the disciples are there, and they're looking up. And the angel says, "Hey, you guys, why are you staring up to heaven?" The same Jesus that left, the same Jesus is going to come back again. Go do what he called you to do. And what do? They went out, and they began to teach. They began to preach. People got saved. The Holy Spirit began to move, and they went 28 chapters with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit moving all the way to the gospel. The purpose of the book of Acts, notice, he says in Acts 4:31, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." The Holy Spirit gives you the boldness to preach, the boldness to witness to people. The boldness over what? Over sin. I'm not going to sin against God. I am the temple of God. I'm going to stand strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let the devil come and destroy my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand fast in the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
We pray today's program has been an encouragement for you to open yourself up to a life led and empowered by the mighty Spirit of God. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's program, we'll send you an unedited copy for a gift of $5 or more. Our phone number is 800-634-9165, and when you contact us, just ask for Raul's introduction to the Book of Acts. We'd like to tell you about a helpful resource simply titled The Holy Spirit. It's a 4-CD study pack from Raul that offers a solid scriptural look at how the third member of the Trinity can have a significant, integral place in your life as a Christian. In addition to studying his basic attributes, you'll explore the deity of the Holy Spirit and the authority he has to guide you into holiness. You'll also find out what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit in a life well-lived for the Lord. Contact us to purchase this revitalizing resource. Just visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you Raul's 4-message series titled The Holy Spirit for a gift of $18 or more. Our phone number once again is 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Well, our goal here at Somebody Loves You Radio is to make God's truth easily accessible to you in a variety of formats, and we have several free resources we invite you to enjoy. Our newest one is found on Raul's YouTube channel. Straight Talk with Raul is a weekly Q&A program now streaming every Tuesday at noon West Coast time. It explores current issues from a biblical perspective, and it's free for all of our YouTube subscribers. Don't forget, we're committed to helping you replace anxiety and confusion with hope and purpose as you find solid ground for your life in the pages of God's Word. Let us know if there's any way we can serve you more effectively in these uncertain times. And be sure to share your prayer requests when you contact us as well. When you support Somebody Loves Your Radio in a financial way, it's like taking someone by the hand and giving them a teaching resource that will have an ongoing impact. That happens through programs like these, ministry resources on our website, and through various other ways that Somebody Loves You Radio communicates the gospel. On behalf of all of us here at the ministry, thanks for your contributions. If you'd like to become a partner, just call 800-634-9165. Well, it's been great to share the study of Scripture with you today, and we hope you'll join us again next time for more biblical encouragement and instruction to help you truly honor God with your life. Here's Raul now once again with a closing thought.
Acts 15:14, Simon had declared how God, at the first visit of the Gentiles, to take out them, the people, from his name. Acts 26:16, "But rise and stand in your feet," one that was healed by the Lord, "for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which are yet revealed to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, and well as from the Gentiles, to whom now I send you, speaking of Paul, to open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to the light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. By faith in me. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ tonight? Is he really your Lord and your Savior? Has he really come to touch your life in such a powerful way that you know that he is the one that came and called you to be a saint? The one that would become separate to him.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.